Good morning. Very warm welcome in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And I bring you very warm greetings all the way from Chipping Norton this morning. So, a call to worship. And here is today's wonderful news. You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. Our first hymn, 57, let all the world in every corner sing. Come before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you now with our hearts and minds open to you. We know you as a loving, caring God. We know you as our friend, our guide, our Saviour. Be with us as we share this time of worship here today. And in our hearts forevermore. Amen. Amen. Lord, so often we come to you with very fixed ideas about what we should pray for. Perhaps we also have fixed ideas about how you should answer. Or we lack the imagination to have any idea at all what the answer might be. Lord, we thank you for the continuing work of your Holy Spirit in our lives and the lives of those around us. We ask that the Spirit will teach us to pray wisely and daringly and imaginatively. Let's ask great things for our world around us. Help us to visualize how you might answer our prayers in much greater ways than we've ever dared to hope or to believe. We wait upon you now, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Our prayer of confession. Lord, we come before you now with humility in our hearts. We come before you to say sorry for all the things we've done wrong this week. If we've been grumpy and upset someone, we ask for your forgiveness. If we thought more of ourselves than we have of you, we ask forgiveness. If we spent time doing the things you don't want us to do, we ask forgiveness. We ask you to give us the strength not to do wrong, but to do all the things that you want us to do. In your name we ask. Amen. Ever-present God, surprise us with your Spirit. When we're tired and work is tedious, surprise us with your energy. When family and neighbours demand more of us than we feel able to give, surprise us with your compassion. and problems overwhelm us, and we don't know which way to turn, surprise us with your wisdom. When we're caught up in controversy and conflict, surprise us with your peace. When friends desert us and we feel isolated and alone, surprise us with your love. Surprise us with your Spirit, ever-present God. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. It will appear on the screen, but whatever version you feel comfortable using, and please use that as we join together in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're going to sing again now, number 39, Angel Voices Ever Singing.
I'm reading Psalm 8 from the New International Version. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.
Thank you. I don't know whether you do a daily Bible reading or not, but my wife and I, we use a book called Daily Bread. And on Sunday, it's always a psalm. We're working our way, this must be the fifth or sixth time we worked our way through all the psalms. Some of the psalms are really cheerful, and some are just so depressing. But this is one of the beautiful psalms, one we can hold on to. I mean, I had a beautiful drive over from Chipping Norton this morning, but we live in a very scenic part of the country. It does make it difficult if we go anywhere else, because we compare the scenery there to the scenery at home. But this psalm is praising the greatness of God. It starts with, O Lord, how majestic your name is on all the earth. Doesn't wrap it up in any imagery. It just speaks of a truly majestic God, all-seeing, all-powerful. Later it says, when I consider your heaven, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars. Ever done that? Ever thought about the beauty of God's creation and how it came about? It wasn't formed by chucking everything up in the air and hoping for the best. No, everything is carefully placed. I wonder if you've heard of the watchmaker theory announced by William Paley in 1802. He said a watch didn't come to be accidentally or on its own, but rather through the intentional handiwork of a skilled watchmaker. It's also readily observed that nature did not come to be accidentally or on its own, but through the intentional handiwork of an intelligent designer, God. Every spring, I ask the same questions about the order of flowers. So we have snowdrops coming through first, then we have crocuses, then we have daffodils. But why do they always come in that order? Why don't daffodils come first? Because it's all part of God's plan. Everything placed in this earth was carefully placed there for a purpose. I mean, when planting, I'm always amazed how a tiny little seed can turn into a carrot or a parsnip, although not this summer, with the rain. But all part of God's creation. If you look at a small baby, you wonder how God could make such an amazing creation. You might also say, how can one so small make so much noise, so much mess, and cause such disrupted sleep? But a baby is a symbol of new life, another new creation. The human brain is far more advanced than any robot or computer. And even if they do bring in robots to do the work, they don't bring in such feelings as compassion, sympathy, and even love. These are the qualities that God gave us. After all, He created us. That's why we need to praise Him. to wonder at his power, to thank him for all that he's done for us, and finally to praise his name. O Lord, how majestic your name in all the earth. If you get the chance, when you get back from the picnic, read this psalm again in the quiet and peace of your own home. Think about what it's saying to you, and then listen to God speaking to you. We're going to sing again that wonderful hymn, How Great Thou Art.
Oh. brought up the wrong piece of paper. Sure you don't want to hear me read the order of service. So the second reading is from Colossians 3, 12 to 17. You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. So then, you must clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with one another and forgive one another whenever any of you has a complaint against someone else. You must forgive one another just as the Lord has forgiven you. And to all these qualities add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. The peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. For it is this peace that God has called you together in the one body. And be thankful. Christ's message in all its richness must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct one another with all wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your hearts. Everything you do or say then should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, as you give thanks through him to God the Father. Amen.
Thank you. My son chose that for his wedding 10 years ago. We thought it was a very, very suitable passage. I did suggest he stopped at verse 17. Verse 18 says, wives, submit to your husbands. Yeah, no, we won't go that far. I'm a great believer in school uniform. I went to High Wycombe Royal Grammar School many years ago, and funnily enough, some of you may know the Reverend Roger Faulkner. He and I were in the same class at school, although we didn't know it for quite a while afterwards. But our uniform consisted of a maroon blazer, school tie, trousers, although I had to wear shorts in my first year, and a school cap that had to be worn at all times out of school. It was to be raised if you saw a schoolmaster in the street. However, it occasionally got lost out of the train window on the way home. I was a teacher myself for many years. I taught first at Carterton County Primary School. And the only remnant I got of the uniform there is a school tie. And I have no idea why I've got this. But it was an essential. They had to wear uniform. And then I got a headship, two headships in Gloucestershire. The first school was green sweatshirts and either grey or black trousers for boys or grey skirts or pinafore dresses for the girls. We did in these days of equal opportunities agree for the girls to wear trousers to school, providing they weren't fashion trousers. In the summer, the girls wore gingham dresses, which girls had been wearing for years and always looked very smart. I then went on to be head teacher at Winchcombe Abbey Primary School, and their uniform was rather a shock to my system. Bit of a bright colour. Took a bit getting used to. But what I like about uniform, there's no arguing about what to wear in the morning. Everyone is equal on the same uniform, and it's also very useful when you're out on school trips because it does identify your group. I always insisted that children wear shoes to school, not trainers. Grumpy old head teacher. Otherwise, some would have worn expensive trainers and others not. The only time I wavered on this was towards the end of the summer term when they'd grown out of their shoes and Mum didn't want to buy another pair till September. All I asked was just a letter from the parents explaining this. There was never a complaint about school uniforms. The only time I got complaints was on a non-uniform day. One parent said to me, I can't put up with this. She took an hour getting dressed this morning, trying to decide what to wear, liaising with her friends and everything else. Maybe that's your dilemma. Now, what shall I wear today? I should think that today a choice of clothes was linked with necessity rather than vanity. I did decide not to wear shorts this morning. It is very warm up there, so light clothing. If you read this passage, Paul tells us exactly how we should clothe ourselves. And he says you must clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This verse will be my first point. Secondly, we'll look at the characteristics God tells us we need to fill our lives. Finally, we'll go back to the first verse and think about what it means to be chosen by God. Now, in primary schools today, they introduced a series of values of the month, values they'd like their children to live by. They will feature the value of the month in each assembly and praise all children exhibiting that value. In my old school perspective, it states our 8 core values are compassion, courage, respect, responsibility, humility, forgiveness, truth and fairness. They underpin all of our work and our beliefs. I think this compares quite favourably with the list of the passage today. These are the characteristics you need to be a good person. So let's look at these values one by one. Firstly, compassion. What references are there to compassion in the Bible? In Exodus, Moses meets with the Lord. It says, I am the Lord, a God full of compassion and pity, who is not easily angered and who shows great love and faithfulness. Again, in the book of James, it tells us the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So the Lord wants us to be like him, full of compassion. The dictionary definition of compassion is to show sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. I think we can manage that, can't we? I mean, after all, as good Christian folk, I believe we should. Let's move on to kindness. In Proverbs, it says, never let loyalty and kindness get away from you. Wear them like a necklace. Write them deep within your heart. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, be kind and tender-hearted to one another and forgive one another as God has forgiven you. There are other sayings linked with kindness. Kindness is a behaviour marked by a pleasant disposition and a concern for others. Yeah, I think we can all relate to that. But it was Mark Twain who said, kindness is a language which the deaf can read. I like that one. Kindness is a language that deaf can read. But Court Flint said, another quote, it's difficult to give away kindness as it keeps coming back to you. Let's move on to the next quality, that is humility. Muhammad Ali was on a plane when the aircraft ran into some severe turbulence and the passengers were told to fasten their seatbelts. Everyone did, except Ali. And the stewardess noticed this. She approached him and said, excuse me, please could you fasten your seatbelt? He said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. The stewardess took one look at him and said, no, Superman don't need no plane, aeroplane either. He put on his belt. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew's Gospel, it says, happy are those that are humble. They will receive what God has promised. In Acts, Paul tells us, with humility and many tears, I did my work on the Lord's servant, as the Lord's servant during the hard times that came to me. The next quality is gentleness. Isn't that how we see Jesus? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Paul refers to this quality in the second book of Corinthians, where he refers to the gentleness and kindness of Christ. In Thessalonians, Paul again describes how they did not try to get praise from anyone, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have made demands of you. But we are gentle with you like a mother taking care of a child. Patience is one of the qualities referred to in Galatians, among which we refer to as the fruits of the Spirit. In Proverbs, it's got one of my favourite quotes: hot tempers can cause arguments, but patience brings peace. And I've used that for many a theme of a school assembly on more than one occasion. It's also a good one to quote to a child who's lost their temper with someone. Also to a frustrated teacher, but it might be better to calm them down first before you remind them of this quote. Patience is the ability to put up with people you'd like to put down. I like that one. If God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. I'm a firm believer that if God wants you to do a job, he will give you the necessary tools to do that job. So these qualities were compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So on to my next point. What qualities are we being asked to add to our Christian living? The Bible says, and to all these qualities add love, which binds all things together in perfect unity. The peace that God gives us is to guide you in the decisions you make. For it is to this peace that God has called you together in the one body. And be thankful. Christ's message in all its richness must live in your hearts. Teach and instruct one another with all wisdom. Sing psalms, hymns, and sacred songs. Sing to God with thanksgiving in your hearts. Everything you do or say then should be done in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. So we give thanks to him through God the Father. So here we're referring to love, peace, being thankful, and being wise. Reminds me of the passage in Corinthians when he talks about love being patient and kind, not jealous or conceited or proud. We know that Jesus wants our hearts to be full of love. Love for one another. Love one another as I have loved you. He also tells us to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. That's all well and good, but what if we don't like our neighbour? I was at a service in Chatterton a while ago, and the gentleman was preaching on about a good neighbour and things. And somebody said, "Well, how can I love my neighbour if one of them is Jeremy Clarkson?" God tells us we should make a great effort to love him more. The problem with some people is they don't even love themselves, let alone each other. But God teaches us to love him, to love others. God is love. Peace. Each week we pray for peace in our hearts, peace in our lives, and peace throughout the world. It's terrible when we turn on the news and it's being dominated by war-torn countries. I've no idea what it's like to be living amongst that. It's impossible to imagine what some of the people who live in Ukraine and the Middle East are going through with constant bombing. And then we have the huge knock-on effect of all the refugees fleeing from war-torn homes. Then closer to home, there are children who live in war-torn homes where there's constant arguments or abuse. Homes where there is no love, no peace. very hard for us to imagine, and we mustn't turn our backs on these situations. We can only help the charities like NSPCC, and we can pray as hard as we can for these children and these families. And dear Lord, we pray that there be peace in all homes. Be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. Yeah, we moan about this, we moan about that, we moan about the aches and pains, we moan about, boy, it's too hot. But sometimes it's good just to sit and reflect on all the things you have to be thankful for. I used to try this as an exercise in RE for the children at school. Sit down and write down 10 things that you are thankful to God for. If you've got a bit of a spare moment or feeling a bit down, try doing that. Just sit down and write 10 things that you are thankful to God for. I also found the words thank you were two extremely useful words to motivate staff. Go out of my way to specifically say to a child or a member of staff for something they've done. It's really good for them to know how much they are appreciated. And finally, to be wise. Think about how you achieved your wisdom. In Job's book it says, where can wisdom be found? Well, this has been gained from years of experience, from making many mistakes, but learning from them, from learning from others, and learning from God. God gives us wisdom. Later on in Job it says, God said to human beings, to be wise, you must have reverence in the Lord. To understand, you must turn away from evil. I wonder at what point you gain wisdom in your lives. I saw a card once that was addressed to all 16-year-olds. It said, you must leave home at once while you still know best. And some of the youngsters think they know everything. We did when we were that age. But then they learn the hard way. There's too much to learn from it. We learn from others and by making mistakes. And if we're not sure, we ask God for his wisdom, for help. But if you do ask God, make sure you listen for the answer. My final point comes in the first verse of this reading. You are the people of God. He loved you and he chose you for his own. Wow, that is an amazing thought, that we are actually chosen by God. Well, we could ask ourselves, did God choose us or did we choose God? Now, I think God chooses everybody, no matter who they are or what they have done. Sadly, though, it seems not everyone chooses God in return. We hear cases of people who chose God and then neglect him for a while before returning joyfully to his heart. God chooses us, each and every one of us, unconditionally. But there's two parts to this quote. Not only did God choose you, but God loves you. I'm sure here everyone has the wonderful feeling of being loved by God. Some people will say, well, I don't think he'll love me after all the wicked things I've done. Yes, he will. He does. God may not like the things that you've done, but it doesn't stop him loving you. It's like the relationship you have with your own children. You have an unconditional love for them. You'll love them whatever they do. You may not like what they're doing, but it never stops you loving them. Exactly the same with God. And this is wonderful news. And this is the good news we need to share with everyone. Not just the people within our church. Not to others who share the same beliefs. But we need to share it out in the streets. We need to share it with others who've not heard the good news. It's such a wonderful news. We can't keep it to ourselves. And then look at the next part of this passage, which tells us exactly how we should live our lives if we want to follow Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. So let me recap on this. We talked about wearing the various qualities that Paul suggests that we clothe ourselves with. We took a detailed look at compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And we had various quotes on those themes. We then moved on to the other four qualities needed, that of love, peace, being thankful, and being wise. Again, we talked about various examples of these qualities, but finally we looked at the first verse. You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. God chose you, God chose me. This is the opportunity for everyone to come and know him as their Lord and Saviour. Although God chooses us, not everyone chooses God. So what we need to do is tell people what they're missing. tell what wonderful benefits there are from coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. We know he's our Lord and Saviour, but he could be yours as well. So we need to follow that verse from the well-known hymn. Go through the park on into the town. The sun still shines on, it never goes down. The light of the world is risen again. The people of darkness are needing our friend. Amen. Going to sing again. 372. Come down, O love divine.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of this day, that we've been able to attend this service with our fellow church members and friends. As the reading today talked of, please renew in us today our compassion, our kindness, our humility. Remind us to treat others as we would like to be treated, to love our neighbours, especially those who are yet to understand and accept your love, Lord. Please encourage us to forgive those who have wronged us, Lord, remembering that holding on to resentment and anger only damages us, to forgive as the Lord forgives us. In this busy world, which seems to encourage efficiency and busyness over stillness, where we are all guilty of rushing around at times, remind us to be patient with one another. We do not know the battles someone is facing, which may be slowing them down. So please encourage us to just take a breath and to be gentle and patient. We see around us more and more people turning to you, Lord, and we applaud this. Please keep putting your love and encouragement onto people's hearts, showing them the love they can experience as a follower of Christ. For us in the congregation, there may be someone we wish would turn their heart to Jesus, and let's bring them to our minds. We know there will be who are waiting for their prayers. Lord, we ask if there is someone, we ask that you do so now. Finally, Lord, let us say thank you. Thank you for providing us with our beautiful world. Please remind those who strive to take advantage of or pollute your amazing natural resources just how lucky they are. How we need to take better care of the world around us and stop prioritising profit over your natural bounties. This feels like it's a time of huge change in the UK, Lord, both environmentally and politically. So please grant us peace while we face these changes. Thank you for always hearing our prayers, for offering guidance and support, for our families, friends, and support networks. Please remind us to be grateful for all that we have, for things that we take for granted, such as running water or safe and convenient access to food. These aren't so accessible for all, so we ask that you watch over those who are impacted and bring them a solution to their struggle. Please open people's hearts to gratitude, to be thankful for all the blessings you bestow upon us. Please bless every member of our church family today and all members of this beautiful local area we live in. In your name we pray. Amen.
Can I just thank everyone who's contributed to the service in all sorts of ways this morning? It's been a great team effort. Many thanks for all your help. So we're going to sing now, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Then there'll be the blessing. Then if you sit down after the blessing, we'll very calmly sing, Calm Me, Lord, as you calm the storm.
Oh God, my Father,
We've chosen to follow you no matter how difficult the road. Would you bless us now so we can face the next steps of our journey? Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Mm-hmm.